The American Irish Teachers Association friends, the history goes back to 1976, and as one who would indeed remember, are those who know anything about the Garveys. That's John Garvey, who actually is the vice president of the American Irish Teachers Association, and Anne Garvey, a former president and a founding member of the American Irish Teachers Association. The Garveys have played a pivotal role in most Irish organizations for as far back as we can remember. So it's not indeed a surprise that the American Irish Teachers Association is now again to the forefront in a project having to do with the tradition of leaning on the U.S. Postal Service to honor and to issue a commemorative stamp honoring the centenary of the Easter Rising in Ireland. Let me welcome Anne Garvey, and Anne, you're very welcome to the program.
Good morning, Adrian. Lovely to be here.
Anne, give us, if you will, a brief history on the American Irish Teachers Association, and it's probably one of the most significant organizations within the Irish Irish American community that has obviously its own history.
Well, the organization did start in the early 1970s, and if you remember that time, there was a great deal of conflict in Northern Ireland, and it was in the papers all the time, and many of us in the Irish American community, and particularly in New York City and the teaching profession, felt that the image that was being presented of Ireland and the Irish people was not entirely accurate. And we felt it was very important for educators in particular to be mindful of what the facts were and what the traditions and heritage of Ireland has been, and what a gift it is really to us as Irish Americans, but also to Americans in general. So we organized the American Irish Teachers Association at that time, and we held lectures and an annual conference to develop themes concerning Ireland, and we're still doing that, and it's been very successful, thankfully.
The many projects that you have as an organization taken a lead role in is indeed very extensive. Tell us, if you will, about the commemorative recognition of the U.S. Postal Service, again, forefronted. I don't know if there is such a word. If there isn't, we can
we'll
throw it
here.
Yeah, we'll pretend there is. By the American Irish Teachers Association, and again honoring the 150th anniversary of the famine, Ireland's great hunger. That was an achievement. That was something which, indeed, many felt wouldn't get off the ground. Tell us about it.
Well, in the early 90s, we started to think about how Ireland's great hunger would be remembered and how we as educators would be able to inform our students about it. And I did an informal survey of publishing houses on what they were planning to bring out on the famine, and it was very disappointing. There was very little response. It didn't seem like much was being planned to examine this period of Irish history and its tremendous impact on the United States and also the world. So we started two lobbies. One was to develop a stamp which would recognize this important event in not only Irish history but also the impact on American history. And we did organize a letter writing campaign. And I mean, it wasn't just the American Irish Teachers Association. It was all across the Irish American community and all across the country, as well as others outside of the Irish American community that joined in support of a stamp. And we did succeed in obtaining or having issued a stamp commemorating Irish immigration, and that was in coordination with the 150th anniversary period of the Great Hunger. So that was one initiative that did result in the issuance of a U.S. stamp on Irish immigration. The other initiative was to have in New York State law, as part of the human rights consideration, an inclusion of studies on the Irish famine. And with the help and the great assistance of then-Assembly, but now Congressman Joseph Crowley, we were able to get that into the law of New York State. And if you remember at the time, the British government was very disturbed about this. And in fact,
you're putting that very diplomatically.
Well, and that's
they were rip-roaring mad, vexed beyond, you know, they could hardly stand themselves.
Right. Well, they did try to portray it and distort this whole effort to have the examination of the Irish famine included in the state curriculum. They tried to distort this. And anyway, they really did not succeed. There's a wonderful editorial that was in the news at the time calling for the inclusion of the famine in the curriculum and an examination and a dialogue about the famine issues. Eventually, you did have Tony Blair, who was then the Prime Minister, issue a statement that acknowledged, in a very mild way, but nevertheless an acknowledgement that Britain had not lived up to its responsibilities. And, I mean, even that was a major accomplishment. But we did manage to get the famine curriculum included in the New York State curriculum, in New York State education law. And Dr. Maureen Murphy from Hofstra and her team at Hofstra developed an amazing curriculum. And it's still in place. And it's still the law, so it is a mandated subject that New York State students should be aware of and should be taught.
A huge accomplishment, and indeed it does tie in with a great number of tremendous recognition again of the famine, not the least obviously is which it served as an impetus indeed for Ireland's Great Hunger Museum, which is located the only museum of its kind in North America, located at Quinnipiac University in Hampden, Connecticut.
Absolutely.
And one of the realities of all of this is that even within the Irish community, it was kind of an uphill a fight to get the story of Ireland's great hunger. I know that we have, many of us have issues with calling it a famine. It was a great hunger that, without getting too deeply into it, one that could have been averted, one that Britain could have indeed done an awful lot more in terms of alleviating the suffering and the mortality rate of the Irish. When you figure a million people died of the famine in Ireland, another million emigrated, and in fact, unfortunately, there are a great number of those deaths that were never recorded. But to have, and for us as a community to accept the fact that, you know, that the hunger, that the rawness of, there's another word that I've just come up with, can throw those into, there must be a place to shelve those new words. But anyway, it was too raw. It was too, the whole topic of the famine and the unwarranted shame associated with the famine, their survival guilt, all of that indeed was an additional burden in getting this off the ground.
That's true, and I think also when the famine occurred, you didn't have photography at an advanced stage, so you didn't have a photographic record of what people were going through. You do have many sketches, but that too makes an impact, and the lack of that kind of visual record for some people lends distance to the event, and it makes it harder to see the importance of it. But one thing that I would like to comment, you know, after the Holocaust, immediately after the Holocaust, the survivors of the camps very often did not talk about their experiences and the horrors they witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people did not want to hear about their experiences. So what happened to us in some ways is very unique. But there's also a hesitancy, I guess, on the part of human beings to confront such evil and such devastation. It takes a gradual consideration of these events to really come to grips with what happened. So, you know, I think the issue is that you do have wonderful people like Christine Keneally, who has done so much research on the famine and written these amazing books that bring it to life, in a sense, and make us aware of the various elements that were in play and, just how terrible it was.
Absolutely. And when, you know, and we should acknowledge, the commitment of John Leahy and as president of Quinnipiac University in actually creating and continuing the commitment to getting that, to getting that story.
That's correct.
And also, again, that not only the American Irish Teachers Association, but with all who were involved in moving that, getting the curriculum, getting the Irish famine, great hunger into the New York State curriculum is something that, again, is something we are very, very proud of and should be.
Absolutely. And one thing I would like to mention, our current New York State Comptroller, Tom DiNapoli, he was also an important supporter of including the curriculum. Remember, at that time, he was an assemblyman also. So, we really have many people to thank in developing this.
Now, again, for many of us, including your husband John and people what's another nice way of putting age group? But for those of us who grew up, actually, particularly in rural Ireland, the 1916 Rising, the Easter Rising of 1916, which gave us, whatever degree of independence Ireland has in the Republic of Ireland, that also was not a topic to be bandied around because, again, many families and indeed many areas were either very pro or very involved in the movement which gave Ireland at least partial independence. So it was not something that even the schools in Ireland encouraged either. Again, this was something that was too new. It was there. So there are, I'm sure, countries in the world that are almost as good as the Irish in selective education, but we seem to do much better at that. So our Irish history came up to 1915 and then came to a sudden stop. Again, ironic, but true.
You know, it's interesting, Adrian, from my perspective as an Irish American. I remember my parents' generation. These were young people who immigrated after in the 20s and onwards, who, you know, we're so committed to Ireland and its independence. And so it was perhaps not as divisive when you were on this side of the pond, having come from Ireland. But I'm aware of the sensitivities that are connected to an examination of the whole 1916 and onward period. But it's so important to think about this period because, as you've said, this really started the road to nationhood, and that is so important. And I think most Irish people would cherish the fact that they do have their own nation. I mean, this is not something to be ignored, and so that's why we have started the new initiative that we're about to launch.
Okay, the initiative, tell us about it, and again on what you are, what you're reaching out to many of us to support and get behind, because as you have mentioned earlier, the getting through to the U.S. Postal Service, and particularly to, the Citizens Stamp Advisory Commission, as you can imagine, there are, thousands and thousands of applicants and applications, and the tradition of not only honoring events, but also honoring significant people as well. The competitive level there of getting through is something that requires a lot of support, and particularly in addition to the American Irish Teachers Association.
Absolutely.
This is one we need to get behind.
Absolutely. What we are proposing, and we have written to the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee, we're proposing that they issue a U.S. stamp commemorating the 1916 Irish Proclamation. It's called the 1916 Proclamation of the Irish Republic. and we are hoping that they will issue a stamp. We have recommended to them that they the stamp contain the Declaration of Independence and the proclamation flanking the light of liberty under the banner of liberty's legacy. We're making the comparison with the American Declaration of Independence that the influence of that declaration has not only changed the lives of those of us who live in the United States, but has had global influence and has influenced also the people who formed the Irish Proclamation. Both documents claim nationhood and sovereignty and reject the foreign influences. So, there are many parallels between them. And I feel that we need to support the stamp, otherwise it will not happen. And that's how we managed to get the Irish immigration stamp before. We were able as a community and across the country to write to the Stamp Commission and to declare that we supported that kind of stamp to be issued. Well, the same thing now, and we want people to get behind this. I have you read a little bit of the press release. You know, the United States Postal Service has issued stamps for, in addition to the Irish immigration stamp, they've also issued many stamps, including one for the French Revolution,
right,
which was issued on July 14, 1989. And we feel that the 1916 proclamation of the Irish Republic deserves that kind of recognition as well. So we are urging people to support the issuance of the stamp. We hope that it could be issued next year to coincide with the anniversary, the centennial anniversary of the proclamation. That it was originally on April 24th, 1916, the day of the rising.
Mm-hmm.
We hope that it could be issued around that time. So people have to get behind it if they feel this would be something that they would want to see happen. And they should write to the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee. And that's, should I give the address
yes,
now,
please.
Adrian?
Yes,
that's
yes.
475 L'Enfant Plaza, I'll spell that, L'Enfant Plaza, Southwest, room 3300, and that's Washington, D.C., 20260-3501, and support the commemorative stamp celebrating the 1776 Declaration of Independence and the centennial of the 1916 Proclamation of the Irish Republic.
Okay. Also, we have a link on our Facebook pages, to the American Irish Teachers Association on our Facebook page at Irish Radio, and that will also give those who would like to, again, get in touch and get behind. This is one, the clock is ticking.
Clock is ticking. It does take
yeah.
time for them to go through the process.
Right.
And then it has to be submitted to the Postmaster General, who is
right.
Megan Brennan. So, you know, we can be somewhat hopeful, but I think the
right.
numbers do matter.
And that's the only way it's actually going to happen.
That's right.
The friends, info at American Irish Teachers Association .org. If you get onto that, that will, create this shortcut and make it easier. And many, many occasions, there's some of us feel, well, this is either a long shot or it's not going to happen. Others feel that absolutely, yes, we can get projects done, but somebody else is going to take care of that, or we have it in the bag. We need to get behind this, and we need to do so now. And again, we acknowledge the American Irish Teachers Association, and again, friends, let's just do it. Easy, I understand, anyway, to log on to our Facebook page at Irish Radio, or get in touch again with the American Irish Teachers Association based in New York at 6 East 87th Street, info at American Irish Teachers Association, all one word, .org. Thank you, Anne Garvey.
Oh, thank you so much, Adrian.
Okay, and friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network USA. I suppose if we are to pick a song that is very much associated with the Irish independence, at the risk of keeping Kevin O'Connor